Welcome to 555 Pray. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is Teresa Tolman with Completing Christ Ministries, and just want to welcome everybody to 555 Pray. Our goal on Saturday mornings is first of all to pray together, and secondly to also receive encouragement from the Word of God so that we can pray more effectively. So that's what we're about on Saturday morning, is thanking God for all that He's already done this week, and also coming together with the specific intent of strengthening our faith so that we can pray more effectively during busy and challenging times. Hallelujah. So I want to also thank everyone who's been praying for me and for my family this week as I've been traveling. And there's something about getting out of your comfort zone, whether it's for another purpose or specifically for ministry purposes. It opens doors that I find cannot be opened while you're in your comfort zone. And so I'm really, really grateful for the opportunity that I've had this week just to travel. There's something about being in a place that you don't know, you know, whether that place is spiritual or whether there's actually a physical place that you are not familiar with. And I found this week that it was really good for me to be outside of my comfort zone and to see other people, you know, in different walks of life and in a different location. It just kind of stirred some compassion for people's pain in other places. To put it this way, that's what it did to me. And also, I found that it was easier to reach out to people when you are in a place where nobody knows you anyway. So you'd think that we're bold and confident, you know, in our own zones. And to some extent, we are. But again, what I experienced was a willingness to share more frequently without hesitation, a willingness to reach out to people and to see that truly all over the world, people need the Lord. Okay. In different settings, there's no difference. People need the Lord. Okay. So it's like, look, people need what we have. And, you know, so our prayer this morning is just that God would help us to get past our comfort zones so that we can actually see how much people need what we already have. It's very easy to come to God with our own needs, and nothing's wrong with that because He's our Father, right? And so we're supposed to come to Him with our needs. But so many people do not know Him as Father, and so many people are desperate. So Father, in Jesus' name, what a privilege to be able to call you Father. What a privilege to know that we are not fatherless, but we have been born of your Spirit. What a privilege to know that we have been given new life and that our status in life has changed at the moment that we accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ, at the moment that we invited Jesus Christ into our hearts, at the moment when Jesus Christ became our desire and when we turned ourselves over and surrendered to His righteousness, we became new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things have truly passed away and all things are made new. And so in Christ, there is no difference. There's no male, no female, no Greek or Scythian. There's no difference between us and them. In Christ, there is no distinction because each one of us, Lord God, who is in Christ, each of us who is in Christ is a new creation. Hallelujah. And so, Lord God, I pray this morning that each of us will recognize ourselves as new creations in Christ Jesus, that old things are actually passed away. Okay, it's hard for the carnal mind cannot grasp this concept. Old things are passed away. We have been made new in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. We are new creations of His. And when we come to Him, I think that it's important for us to meditate from time to time on what He has really done. He has given us new life and He gives us new starts. In fact, His word says that His mercies are new every morning. And so what a privilege not just to come to Him, but to come to Him knowing that the past is not coming with us wherever we're going today, that each day we can say the past is behind us and the new life of Christ is in front of us. That's where hope begins. Hallelujah. And people who are hopeless, they're hopeless because of what has happened in the past and what is trying to happen in the future. And we're going to pray, first of all, that we recognize that old things are passed away. And secondly, that we recognize that all things are made new in Christ Jesus. And in Christ, every day we can start again. Okay. In fact, we have new life every day in Christ Jesus. I think from my standpoint, I don't know about those of you who are on the line or listening by recorded playback. I don't know, but you know, we don't really grasp the fullness of this on a regular basis, or we would behave differently and we would feel differently about ourselves and about our lives. So Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we just want to say thank you, because, you know, we are actually born again. You know, it was hard for Nicodemus to understand. It's hard for the carnal man, period, to understand. Our natural man cannot comprehend what you have already done. But we ask you for more insight in this area so that we can walk as new creations, and so that we can understand that old things are actually over with. They're gone. Lord, give us more ability to do this. Give us the ability to walk in the newness of life that you have for us. Give us the ability to comprehend it. And we give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. So I want us with that to go to John chapter 3 and let us just look at what Nicodemus was struggling with. Okay. And I think somewhere in his struggle, you know, each one of us can find some grace, you know, for our own life situations. Okay. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. I'm in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, starting at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered, verse 3, and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, now look at this interchange. I want you to see the boldness of Jesus. Okay, you can see it everywhere. You can look at the boldness of his approach to things in John chapter 4. Also, I'm going to go there right quick and come back to this, I think. Okay, now watch this. John chapter 4, okay? When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had baptized and made more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. So again, go back to my concept in the beginning. This is it, that when we're in different situations, how is it that this boldness, what is this boldness about, okay, that comes when we're in a situation where our familiar surroundings are gone away, our familiar people are not there? He comes into Samaria, and which is called Sychar, this city called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Okay, so here's Jesus in a setting that's not his normal setting. It's not his everyday setting. His disciples are gone away. He's alone with a strange woman, a woman that, you know, not strange to him because he's God, but a woman who did not know him. And he approaches her boldly, okay, saying like, if you knew who I am, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that's saying to you, give me the drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. He's saying like, you're about to miss a great opportunity, ma'am. You're about to miss a great opportunity because you don't know who I am. You're about to miss a great opportunity because you don't recognize the gift of God that is in me. And so listen at this. Now let's take that and go back to John 3 where we started just now. Okay. John chapter 3. Okay. The man, the Pharisee, he was named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. In the same day, he comes by night, verse 2, and says unto him. So now, why is he coming by night? See, when we're studying, we have to look at the details, right? Okay, so he came to Jesus by night. He did not want to be seen. He was seeking him, but it was secret. He was curious, but he did not want to endure the repercussions, okay, of attaching or being identified to Jesus. So look at our human tendencies for what they are. Jesus answered him and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Jesus, when he's ministering, okay, is going directly to the point. Okay, he went directly to the point with this lady over there. If you knew who I was, if you knew who you were talking to, if you understood and knew and recognized the gift of God that's in front of you, you would have asked me for something instead of me just asking you for something. You would be asking me for what I have instead of me having to ask you for a drink of water. You would be asking me, because if you recognized who I am, same thing he's saying to this guy in John chapter 3. He says, like, look, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, you don't see what's right in front of you. The kingdom of God is right here. I'm the king of my kingdom, and the kingdom of God is right here. Okay. And so it's something about confidence that we have to ask God for. And there's also something that he imparts to us when we're in certain settings. Okay. I'll give you an example. Okay. So I'm out of town. I'm, you know, going to the grocery store. I don't know anywhere. I have to use a GPS. I don't know where I'm at. I'm looking, trying to find something in the grocery store. And I ask this guy who's one of the people that just stacked the shelves. And, you know, and I end up talking to him. So I just asked him, like, where's the this or where's the that? And he told me where to go. And I said, so just both. What is your name? So I'm going to be praying for you. See, I just dove right into it. That's the kingdom of God that's in us was stirred. When the kingdom of God is stirred, okay, then there's a boldness that and a confidence that comes with it. And the thing that is funny, we stay in our same surroundings. You know, we get all of our familiar surroundings, and it's very easy, you know, to kind of just like stay in, not a rut, you know, it's not like we're ineffective, but the effectiveness that happens when we're in unfamiliar circumstances and when we're willing to obey God and go where he wants us to go, it's amazing. Okay, that's all I want to impart to you. It's amazing. Okay, in that same setting, okay, I didn't care. This is the other thing that I noticed. I did not care, you know, like where the people said yes or no to me. Okay, so when I offered something, a little booklet to one lady, she says, "Well, actually, no, thank you so much. I don't want that. I have a church already and I do not need it." I said, "Okay, it's no problem." Like, I'm going on. I mean, I moved on so fast that it was almost funny. I said, "Okay, it's not a problem. No problem." Because I know somebody needs this. And I just want, that's what I want to impart to you. I think that God sent me, you know, I went for one reason, but God sent me so that I could get into that place that I see here in the scripture. And then also just to share it with you. Yeah, do not wrestle with the fact that you don't have boldness. Just go. Okay, go wherever he says go, and the boldness, it'll rise up in you. Okay, amen. Hallelujah. And so people need the Lord. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. People need what we have. You know, they may come against us. They may be negative. They may resist. They may do all of that. But Jesus ministered effectively because he knew one thing. I am the Lord. And we have to know that one thing. That's all I want to impart this morning. We have to know who's in us. And like he told the lady at Sychar in John 4, if you knew the gift that was standing in front of you, you would be asking me, okay, for it. Your only problem is you don't recognize who is in me. Hallelujah. So this morning, I don't have much to say except, you know, go, you know, go ye. Okay, now watch this. Go wherever he says go. Do whatever he says do. Here, let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 will start around verse 18. And we'll give you a backdrop on what's going on here is in verse 16, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. See what I'm saying? They went away into Galilee. They went in away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Okay, so they're not in their ordinary setting. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So that's their setting. When they saw him, now this was after Jesus was risen from the dead, remember. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them and saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. So he knew his authority and he had no question about it. And I believe that that is what the Holy Spirit wants to impart unto us. We spend so much time trying to fix ourselves and trying to get ready and trying to get prepared, you know, to do whatever we're called to do. When God is saying, like, excuse me, all authority in heaven and in earth is in me, and then I am in you. So therefore, he says, okay, all authority, again, verse 18, all power, that word power is exousia. Okay, right. It should be exousia right there, which has to do with authority. I'm more than sure right here. It's all authority. Sometimes in the Old King James, the word power is translated from exousia in the Greek, which means authority. And sometimes it is translated from dunamis, which has to do with just miracle working power, you know, strength. Okay, power in that sense. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Okay, I love the amen right there. Hallelujah. So when we go, you know, we could go to the store. You know, we could go to visit your auntie. We could go anywhere. When we go. When we go, then he goes with us, is my only point. When we go, his boldness is stirred up when we go. When we go, the gift of God is stirred up. And so I'm just greatly encouraged and want to greatly encourage you. As we pray for others, I think that the same thing applies, that we're more likely to pray for people in settings that are unfamiliar. I prayed for more people in the grocery stores, and because I kept having to run, pick up something from the store and, you know, drugstore, grocery store, you know, anything. I was always just picking up things the whole time I was there. And every time I went, I'm praying for people. Hey, you know, hey, how are you? You know, so anyway, so I want to just encourage you this morning. If you are focused on yourself, trying to figure out what God has for you to do, or if you're focused on yourself and feeling incompetent, you know, or if you focused on praying for people, but, you know, you're just praying for the same little circle every day, whatever the limitations are, let's take the limits off today. Let's take the limits off of your ministry. Let's take the limits off of your prayer ministry. And I want you to pray for people with the knowledge that the kingdom of God is in you. When you pray, you expect the kingdom of God to come upon them. Hallelujah, like it did in the Bible. Okay, so Father, right now, I want to pray that right now in Jesus' name. We're praying about boldness today. We're praying about confidence. We're praying about, you know, being able to minister to the needs of the people, because people need you. The first thing is that help us to understand that when people are coming against us, or when people, Lord God, are resisting, or when people need the Lord. People need more of you. Christians need more of you. Everybody needs more. And so whatever it is that we have in us, we need to impart it to other people in the name of Jesus. Father God, there's so much pain in the earth, so much confusion and all of that, but there's so much power in us. There's so much power in the earth. Help us to release, Lord God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and help us to walk in the authority that you have given us. Okay. Authority. We've been given authority to do this. Think about it. We've been given authority. Okay, I want to give you a couple of more scriptures. Luke 10:19 says this: behold, I give you, or I have given you authority to tread on serpents and on scorpions, and nothing shall by any means harm you. So he's given us the ability, you know, he's given us the authority, but we don't recognize it. And that's the trick of the devil. If we ever recognize how much authority we have, it's all over with. Luke 10:19 occurs, by the way, in the backdrop of Jesus had sent out his 70 disciples. This time he sent 12 out first, and then they came back and reported to him. And then he sent 70 out, and the 70 returned, and they had great times ministering to the Lord. So look what he did with his disciples. He sent them, okay, out, and they came back and reported to him on how things were going. And they came back in verse 17 with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said, Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. You know, so he's rejoicing with them. Okay. And behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So if we keep our focus, again, if we keep our focus on what God has given to us, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, our fate is already sealed. Our destiny has already been determined. We have already arrived. I'm serious. That's where your confidence is. You think about how confident people are in the world. You think about how confident a person is who thinks that they've already arrived. You think they're already there. They've made it to the top. Think about this. When somebody has met their goals, or they're making a lot of money, or they've got the prestige and power and all this other stuff. Think about the arrogance of human flesh in that setting, that you've already arrived. And then Jesus saying that notwithstanding in this, rejoice that not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We have already arrived. In other words, that's the same confidence he wants us to have. Like, look, you know, just like you finished your goal and, you know, you reached the top and you got all this, you know, authority and everybody's looking toward you. Jesus is saying, like, we should be the same way because our names are already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. We have already arrived. So why are we spending all this time trying to fix ourselves? We have already arrived. It's done. This is a done deal. The work that Jesus has done in us is done. Okay? He's perfecting us so that we can share it with others. Our fate is already sealed. We're destined to heaven, and that's that. Soak that in, right? Okay? So wait, okay. You know, I have arrived. What you so confident about? Why are you so bold? Because I have already arrived. My destiny has already been determined. I have already arrived. Hallelujah. You're the one that needs what I have. You need what I have. I don't need what you got. I already overcame what you got. You need what I have. Jesus, we're already there. We are already there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Lord God, we thank you this morning for boldness. And remember that I said in Luke 10:19, behold, he said, I give unto you exousia right there. If you're looking at the old King James right here, power is exousia. And that's a different Greek word than in the second power. Now watch this. Let me teach 1 second. I give unto you power in the old King James. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So it looks at first like he's using the same word because it was translated. Both of those two separate Greek words were translated the same way in the King James, the old King James, power and power. But if you look it up, power in the first line, I give unto you power is exousia, which is authority. I'm giving you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the dunamis, okay, which is another Greek word for power. Okay, right there. I'm giving you authority over all of the supernatural power of the devil. I'm giving you authority over all his supernatural power. So we're not trying to say the devil can't do this. The devil's doing this. Look at all the devil. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. The devil's doing this, that, whatever. But we have been given kingdom authority to tread. Tread means to trample something literally under your feet, to stomp it out like you were stomping out a fire. The ability to tread, stomp on it. So that's the authority that we have when we see the devil, you know, spreading himself like a peacock. We have been given authority, okay, to tread on that. In the name of Jesus, serpents, scorpions, over all of the dunamis, all the dynamite. Dunamis is dynamite. So it might look spectacular. You know, it might look impossible what we're confronted with, because dunamis is the same word for dynamite. You know, the devil can just explode with all of his garbage and look, the situation could look impossible, you know, because of his dunamis power. Okay. But, you know, but we have been given authority to tread on it, to trample on it, snuff it out in the name of Jesus. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's a promise from God. Hallelujah. So that was Luke 10:19. Okay. I'm going to give it to you in one more translation. Let's go with the New American Standard. Luke 10:17, it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Okay. And 18, and he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Jesus said, like, all right, yeah, you think you've seen something. I saw the devil get kicked out of heaven. I was watching when he got cast down to the earth. I saw it. So he's saying, you rejoicing. I saw the actual episode. Okay. I saw his defeat already. And then 19, he said, behold, I have given you authority. Okay. So here is translated correctly in New American Standard. I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, okay, and he goes on, nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. So it should just be an everyday occurrence. In other words, it's nothing to just get all excited about, like, oh, you didn't do what the... No, the rejoicing comes when we understand that we have already arrived. Our destiny is already sealed. Our names are already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We cannot lose. That's reason for rejoicing. We're already there, okay? And then again, in verse 21, you know, he goes on and on. He rejoiced greatly in the spirit. Now, let me just show you that right quick. In verse 21, he says that your names are recorded. That's when he broke out into a dance. He says, I believe he was dancing. At that very time, verse 21, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he thought about the fact, he said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. You just go ahead and cast the devil out. In other words, you just go ahead and take authority in the situation. You just go ahead and tread on your serpents and scorpions and anything wicked, and because nothing by any means is going to hurt. You just go ahead and do what you called to do. You just go ahead and stomp it out. Stomp on it. Be bold. And then he said, however, rejoice, okay, that rejoice that your names are recorded in the book of life, okay? Like, rejoice that I have already given you the victory. It's not up for grabs. Your fate is settled. Your destiny has been determined. We are his. We belong to him. And therein is cause for great rejoicing. And so much so that at that very time, Jesus rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Lord. Look, can't you picture him? Jesus said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. Talking about the Pharisees. He said, you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this was the way that was well-pleasing in your sight. That he could pick up 70 ordinary people and send them out, casting out devils and preaching the gospel, and that they could come back and say, like, it works. It works. It works. It works. It works. The demons are actually subject. It works. The demons are actually subject to us. It works. He said, yeah, they subject to you. I've been trying to tell you that. But when you really want to rejoice, wait till you see the party that we're going to have when we're done with this work. Wait until you see what I have in store for you to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Father, in Jesus' name, as we continue to pray for others, help us to understand that when we pray for others, we are breaking strongholds. Hallelujah. And demons are actually subject. They're actually subject to the power that we release in prayer. That it's not just when we lay hands on people and when we talk to them. It's when we pray. We pray with the authority that you've given us. When we pray, we cast out devils. We pray and we bind sickness and disease. We pray and we release, hallelujah, the kingdom of God when we pray. We pray with authority, and we can't wait to pray. We are excited about prayer because we've been given authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and anything wicked, and nothing shall by any means harm us, because our fate is already sealed. It's a done deal. Hallelujah. So help us to pray with confidence, knowing like, oh, I got something I can do about this situation. I have something I can do about this. I can pray with the authority of God and with the power, the miracle, the dunamis, the dynamite of God in it. We can blow the situation up, and we do it in Jesus' name. So, Father, give us boldness as intercessors and help us to understand, Lord God, that that's the reason that we're here, is to increase and advance your kingdom in the lives of others, because our fate, our destiny is already settled. Hallelujah. And we give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. All authority has been given to us. We have all authority when you pray. You know, I just, one of my cousins just had a bad report about something, some kind of cancer. I was like, oh, no, we actually have authority to bind that. We actually have authority to pray against that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, if you're new on the line again this morning, again on Saturday mornings, we usually take a few extra minutes to encourage one another in prayer. And I have a feeling, okay, because of the kingdom of God that is in me, that each one of us is going to leave this phone call more empowered than we were before to pray effectively, okay, to pray boldly, okay, and that we take those situations in our prayer time and we actually pray with confidence that this thing is going to turn around in Jesus' name because of what has been given unto us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't be discouraged. Whatever you do, don't be discouraged. God bless you, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a great day.